Lord, we welcome you amongst us today and celebrate the gift of life that you have lavished upon each of us. We also remember those who are not with us today for any reason. For those who are sick, we ask for healing, and for those away from us, we ask for your blessing to be upon them. As we gather, we ask that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance, and open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Church, and then there were two churches, and then pretty soon there were a lot of churches, but there were really devout people. And that means they cared a lot about how they lived, and they wanted to live the way God wanted them to. And after a lot of years, people called them saints. So I want to show you a picture of Teresa of Avila. Now tell me, what do you see? What do you see in that picture of her? A bird? Yeah, it's a dove. Isn't that pretty? And she has on a black cape and white over it because she was a nun. Not all saints are nuns, and not all saints are women. There's another picture, and this is of a Russian man, and his name, Saint Anthony. What do you see in his picture? He has a mustache. What else does he have? A beard, a long beard, doesn't he? And he was very special. And, you know, our church doesn't talk a lot about saints. Some churches talk a lot about saints, and they have pictures of saints everywhere. We don't, but we like to remember people too. So today is a day when we especially remember the people who died last year. But we also remember all the other saints, the saints who teach you. They teach you in Sunday school. They teach you in your school. The saints who wax floors. How about that? And the saints who do refreshments. You know, there are saints. Just look out there. Stand up for a minute and look at all those people. Do you see all them? They're all saints. Today, we're all saints together, and we're going to look at some pictures of the five people from this group that died this past year and remember them especially today. But they're always with us because every time we remember them and the work they did for us, we're part of their sainthood. So it's a strange word, saint and sainthood, but it's a special way to remember people. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for people we remember today, for all the saints and all the people who work so hard in this community. Thank you for these children who are saints now and in the making. Amen. Five saints move from this existence to the promised next one in this past year, since we last celebrated All Saints Sunday last year. Let us bring each one to mind as I share a few words and as we view their pictures. Mary Detra. Mary was born in West Virginia and attended nursing school in Harrisonburg, Virginia. She met her future husband, John, at Camp Galilee. They became partners in both marriage and business. Mary had a can-do spirit rooted in a deep spirituality. She prayed for others and freely asked for prayer. She had a unique style to match her own shade of lavender, for surely Mary owned that color. Mary is remembered as being the heart of her family and for giving to her church family with all her heart. We remember her as one of our saints today, knowing her adventurous style and firmly placed faith will continue to be part of our community of saints.
I keep the Lord always before me, because the Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure.
Myra Simmons. Myra's home was in Everett, PA. She traveled the world as a U.S. Navy lieutenant commander and nurse, but Everett, PA was always home. From training to be a nurse in New York to life in Camp Lejeune and Portsmouth, VA, she made frequent trips home to see her parents, sister, and cousins. Her transfer to Oakland and stationing in Korea influenced her sister Minnie to try something new too. Her sense of duty went far beyond family and Navy, though. She was very serious about her duty to God. She knew that her caring profession wasn't to stop in hospitals, but was owed to others in the world. She sought out the right and acted like a follower of Jesus would do. We count her as a saint because while her labor on earth is done, she continues to offer her spirit to our community of saints.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Dory Byron. Dory made home wherever she was. From her childhood in Taunton, Massachusetts, to the Boulevard Manor neighborhood right around us, and even her last move to Gainesville, Virginia, Dory created home wherever she lived. She was an organizer of events, a creator of community. She made sure to bring, or have Byron bring, balloons to every community event. Her ties to the Boulevard Manor Civic Association became ties to this congregation. Her sense of civic service extended to the President's Council on Education and helping people find the perfect home. Dory's sainted spirit joins us each time we meet our neighbors or invite the community into this space. She will always belong in our community of saints.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Kathy Powers. Kathy created beauty. We knew her mostly through her work. Her creations, quilts and crafts, were a key part of our donations to Brethren Disaster Relief. Her friendship, crafting and mentoring with Dee Richardson kept her close to us in spirit and in practice. Kathy was generous in all aspects of her life, generous with her knowledge, generous with her skill, generous with her cooking, and generous with her time. Most of all, she was generous with love for family, for friends, and for God. Kathy remains a vital part of our community of saints.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming from this time and forevermore.
Alice Weimer. Celestra Alice Prophet Weimer moved from a log cabin home in Nelson County, Virginia to Washington, D.C. She worked everywhere and at anything she could do to provide for her family. She was known for her cooking, sewing, and church work. Her life revolved around the Washington City Church of the Brethren for years, serving as Sunday school superintendent for the primary department, a deacon, and the key role of cooking the beef for Love Feast. She had a lifelong interest in medicine and eventually worked in medical records. Work for family, church, and others was what her busy life swirled around. Every time I visited her, she spoke of transferring her membership to Arlington. I assured her it wasn't necessary, that she was one of us already as a sister in the Church of the Brethren. Alice's determination and sense of humor keep inspiring us as she lives forever in our community of saints.
Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
It is a paradoxical mystery that death is a gift. We don't feel that way when we lose one of our own, yet each passing, each transition offers us a glimpse beyond our pain into the more of what is next. Our saints lead the way. They are our guides to remind us that life is more than a set number of days. Heaven is more than a place we reach after death. We are meant to live into the more, returning here for another glimpse of what has been, what is, and what will be from the Bible and for those who have vision. Whenever we spend time with others who understand that there is more and that we are more, we grow into that paradoxical gift. Have you seen that window close at the moment of death where you could almost see beyond? Can you taste the promise of more, or smell the fragrance like aroma of a favorite dish that waits for you? Like the seed that looks so small and pitiful when it is planted, we are promised that life is more. More than just a seed, it is the fullness of new life, a life that begins now and is eternally full. Our community of saints shows us the promise of Christ is real. Let us pray for the strength to live as they have lived and live into the fullness of all eternity in the Jesus way. Let us pray. God of life, we are so grateful for the lives that have touched ours. We give thanks that their influence remains part of our community of saints here in the vital congregation of your body. You have blessed us with saints all our lives, O God. Those who put up with us, those who prepared us for discipleship, those who have touched us with their compassion, and those who illumine the way for us. Spirit of wonder, you surround us with saints, even when we don't recognize or much less appreciate them. Some live down the corner from us while others are on the other side of the world. Some run to catch the leaves spiraling to the ground while others make a meal for a sick neighbor's family. For all the saints of every age, especially ours, we give you our gratitude and praise. God of and God in community, we praise your holy name. Amen.
Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples. The legal experts and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, you must take care to do everything they say, but don't do what they do, for they tie together heavy packs that are impossible to carry. They put them on the shoulders of others, but are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do, they do to be noticed by others. They make extra wide prayer bands for their arms and long tassels for their clothes. They love to sit in places of honor at banquets. They love to be greeted with honor at the markets and be addressed as rabbi. But you shouldn't be called rabbi, because you have one teacher and all of you are brothers and sisters. Don't call anybody on earth your father, because you have one Father who is heavenly. Don't be called teacher, because Christ is your one teacher. But the one who is greatest among you will be your servant. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, but all who make themselves low will be lifted up.
Text for All Saints worship. Jesus seems to be tearing down the office of scribe, religious leader, even the esteemed position of rabbi. He kind of trashes in this backpack text. Do what they say, but not what they do. Interesting way to put it. And his instruction is very restrictive. No, you are not to be called rabbi. You are not to be called instructor. Call no one your father. The greatest will be your servant. What do you think Jesus is doing with this text? Can you discern a purpose? Not a clue, huh? Go ahead, Minnie. God is the Father, and we're all equal. Yeah. Yeah, so we have our relationship with God, and that's primary. We might summarize Jesus' teaching as tear down to build up. Now, I don't know a lot or much of anything about the military, but I think that that is a bit of a philosophy, in at least in military-like organizations, that there takes a little bit of tearing down before something can be built up. So sometimes we have to tear down our relationships, not to completely destroy your relationship with your family, but in order to create a new priority. So we see it in a different manner around Arlington. Does anybody live in a tear-down neighborhood? Have you seen, you know, the tear-down, the $750,000 tear-downs, right? And what do? Down it goes. In some neighborhoods, though, they're required to leave up the outside brick structure. And they can add on to it and they can do whatever they want, but the original brick structure is required. Whereas in other neighborhoods, everything is wiped down. When I worked in outdoor ministry, we had these old cabins that people stayed in. They just had bunk beds. And as time went by, people wanted a little bit better, luxurious accommodations, as many of us who go to Shepherd Spring get to appreciate. So what the camp committee at the time was Presbyterian, they decided to rehab these cabins. And they took all the old bunk beds out and they put in Hayden bunk beds, which means there's a double bunk in the bottom and a single up top. They put a bathroom in each side and a wall down the middle, and that way you could divide this up. You could have a couple in the double bed. You could have all kinds of luxury. And when it was all said and done, they spent way more money than if they had just torn it all down and started over from the cement up. Jesus is tearing down the ideas that keep people locked in the same old ways. And he has to speak harshly so that we will listen. And when he speaks against the families that we hold near and dear, it's painful, and we don't know what to think. This is not the only place where he mentions something about family. Here, it's relatively light because he's talking about the rabbis and the scribes. He says, call no one father. But there's other places where he insists that people leave the family behind. You see, we need a stern message that challenges our allegiances that take priority over our allegiance to God. And this was key to Jesus' teaching. Do what they teach, not what they do, because they have become too caught up in their preferred ways. They are too comfortable with the way things are. They've forgotten why we practice, why we worship. They've forgotten that they are servants. So Jesus tears down in order to build up his own family, his own idea of family, and we call it the family of faith. Jesus' family requires our ultimate loyalty, and we need to be pulled from the comfort of our ways, the way things are, the way things always have been, in order to see the greater value found in the bonds of God. Today, we've reminded ourselves that the family of God includes our community of saints, those who have died and those who are here in our midst. Jesus has an important message for us, and he asks his followers to remember that God's ultimate work is to save. God's priority has always been saving. Does the language of saving get a little touchy for you? The language of salvation, has it been so co-opted by our culture that we forget that God's priority has always been to save? God saved Abraham from a life of wandering, a life of childlessness. God saved Jews from slavery in Egypt. And a generation later, he saved the Jews from wandering in the desert to found a homeland. Each time God saves us from something, we are saved for something. It sounds a bit like tearing down in order to build up. God saves us from our lesser selves that focus on lesser things so that we can be part of something much bigger, the grand, inclusive family of God. This is the new family that Jesus began when he called his disciples to leave it all behind and follow me. This is a family where tax collectors and prostitutes and mentally and physically ill and poor and destitute and just plain unlikable people have a priority. This is the community of saints that we recall today. This is the community of saints that we have been saved for. And we are to keep on inviting others to be part of this radical community, the new kind of family of God. It's not a simple thing joining the family of faith. We're often required to do some personal tearing down so that God can enter in and do the building up that we need. It can be painful to be saved from our old ways that are so comfortable. It can be painful to be saved from evaluating people by how they are dressed or the jobs they do or the families they're from or even from the way they worship. Our prejudice and biases are deep-seated. We have racial biases, we have class biases, we have gender biases, and we desperately need to be saved from them all. Jesus' family of faith is not full of the elite of the world. When we join his community of saints, we join prisoners. We join con men and all sorts of people that we wouldn't choose to sit beside. According to the hierarchy of Christ's kingdom, many of them will have a seat at the head of the table, and we will be a good bit further back. Do we need saving to adjust to the priorities of Jesus' family? I do. When we let Jesus rebuild our lives from the ruins from which he's saved us, we will be able to let go of our customary ways, the habits and the racial biases that hold us back, the prejudices that keep us from welcoming all his family. We will even be saved from idolizing the legacy that our saints leave us, and be saved for the new community of which they are a part, a community for all the saints. May we be saved once again, that we may fully participate in God's all-inclusive table.